is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha. Two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conversations Brewing with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha.
Hi, we're so excited about this next episode that we're going to bring to you. We had another guest. Ravisha and I have been having the exciting opportunity of getting to connect with some really great guests. And this guest is actually from the Chicagoland area. Ravisha, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about her?
Yeah, of course. Our guest today is Apoorva Agarwal, and she's an Indian immigrant living in Chicago. And she actually just recently found a jewelry line called Amaya Jewelry. And so we talked to her in this episode today about developing healthy habits and how she's juggling having a corporate 9-to-5 job, but then also having her own jewelry business. And the conversation was actually really great, Divya, don't you think? Like, we're just talking about how you kind of have to like manage it all and what you need to do to pursue those dreams and passions.
Yeah, it was so cool because we really talked about the intersectionality with culture, identity, gender norms, because she has broken a lot of those. Being one, she's a woman, and she moved away from India, came to the United States in 2013, did the whole thing, right? Like, went to college, got the corporate job, but then wanted to also pursue her passion. So she is really killing it doing, founding that startup, Amaya. And they actually were just featured in South Asian Fashion Week, which I thought was so cool in New York. So her pieces were on the runway. So, I mean, it's really inspiring to see somebody hold both of that, and definitely requires a lot of healthy habits and intentional practices. So she shared a lot of that with us on this episode, which is really cool to hear.
Yeah, we loved having her on, and be sure to check out Amaya Jewelry on Instagram. There's some really great pieces that you could also buy for yourself. Here's Apoorva. Hi, guys. Apoorva, why don't you start off by saying a little bit about yourself for our listeners?
Hi, I'm Apoorva. I'm based out of Chicago. I am a budding entrepreneur. Have my own business called Amaya Jewelry. I also work full-time, and I'm very passionate about developing habits and learning and unlearning certain things that help me become a better person. I am an Indian immigrant. I moved here 10 years ago to pursue education, as Indian parents send their children abroad to do. I did finance, got myself a job, but I always wanted to have something of my own. So that's why I started and took the plunge with Amaya Jewelry.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. And yeah, it seems like in the last decade, you've had a lot of transitions then with moving here, and then so I'm assuming you came here for school.
I did. I came for school. I went to Indiana University.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, we're both from Illinois. So that's cool. Right next door. For the last 10 years, a lot of transition with coming and starting school and doing like kind of what they say to do, right? Like get that corporate job and work. And then now you're doing your own thing, which is so exciting. And that we can talk to you about developing healthy habits, because if there's anything that I've seen is that, I mean, in general, you need healthy habits to do anything because life is crazy. But I imagine with managing two jobs that healthy habits is really an integral part of that.
It really is. I drove myself crazy last year with just having two jobs. I also did real estate in between, which I had to give up because it was just getting a lot to like manage. But I read this book called Atomic Habits, Life Changer. I would recommend everyone to read it. And it told me that you need to have a system for a process. You can't just define a goal and run after it. You need to fix the system. So with both these jobs, what I do now is I plan my day on Sundays. I plan my entire week, how each day will look like and what hours I'll be dedicating to Amaya versus my full time. Mm. So right now, my day to day looks like wake up at 6, work on Amaya for 2-3 hours, start my 9 to 5. And if I have pockets of time between my 9 to 5, I try and do more of social media networking because that helps me just stay in touch and know what's going on. And then after that, I know my personal healthy habits are equally important. So I try and work out. Mm-hmm. So that's how my day goes. And before sleeping, I try and incorporate learning aspect of it, which means like either reading something about the industry or reading a book that helps me just grow as a person. Mm-hmm. So that's how I'm trying to manage my day to day. But it does get overwhelming. I wouldn't say that my all days are perfect when I'm trying to manage Amaya and 9 to 5. I've had challenges with my corporate job, but I think I'm able to pull it off right now. So I'm happy about it.
That's great. What made you like take that leap into starting your own jewelry business? Like, was it like, I guess, like what made you like start from there?
I come from a family of jewelers. My dad does fine jewelry in Delhi. So I'd always wanted, while growing up, like it's very common to hear sons will take forward the business. And the rebellious 16-year-old me wanted to just change that and take over the daughter. Like I wanted the daughters to start taking over family businesses. Not that my family denied any of it. I come from a very open-minded family, so they were always open for it. But of course, that time wasn't right. My dad wanted me to get educated, a job, stable income, and I did all of that. But I think deep down, I still wanted to do jewelry. I still wanted to have something of my own. So 2 years ago, while sipping on chai, my brother finally just said, "Are you ready to do it? You've been wanting to do it for a while. Like, just why don't you start?" And I think that was it. I just needed that motivation and needed to hear those words from somebody in my family. And then he helped me get started. He helped me like set up, and till date, he helps me with like back-end logistics. So I think I've grown up seeing jewelry. So, and that seemed like something I was leaning towards all my life. And I'm very happy I'm able to do it now.
That's great. So awesome.
Like I have a very progressive family as well, but like you still see that like kind of mentality that like, you know, a daughter like can't take over that kind of business or like she's to go do her own thing. So like, I'm glad that you like stuck to a passion that like still meant a lot for you and you still did what your parents wanted you to do.
I am. Fortunately, I enjoy what I do too. That's why I'm not leaving my full-time job either, because I love working with chocolates.
Who wouldn't? Why do you think that some people don't end up leading with their passion and the decisions they make? Because I imagine that there are a lot of people who also have this passion similarly like you did with jewelry. And I mean, Ravisha and I even had it for a podcast for so many years and we didn't do anything about it because we were scared, you know? So why do you think that so many people who have this idea or passion end up not pursuing it?
I will quote my personal example. I was scared to start something of my own too, because I thought it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. I think people have these self-inflicted thoughts or self-doubt that stop them from doing what they want to do, or they think what the society will think. I think these are the two biggest factors that stop people from doing anything that they're passionate about. And also like sometimes like I feel like passion is not always the most realistic career choice, right? Sometimes you don't have the resources for it. So for example, you want to be a singer, like, yes, you can be, but it takes time to actually break through and get the chance that you should be getting. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of external factors, but I would recommend just going for it if you are really, truly passionate about it. Like you have to know why you're passionate about it. If it brings your life, it lightens your life, then you should go for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. How did you overcome that fear? Like what, I guess, like what was like the starting point or what made you be like, all right, like this is it. I'm finally starting this business on the side with my corporate job. Like when did you just like let the fear come down and like the passion go forward, I guess?
Okay. Good question, because I'm still fearful of a lot of things in my life, but I work towards it. I acknowledge the fact that this is what's negating my passion. So last year, when I started 3 months into launching Amaya, I figured I cannot run after perfection. I need to enjoy imperfections with social media. And how, like, I'm worried about, like, how will I come across? Like, you know, what will people think if I post a certain thing? It has to be perfect. And in reality, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
People will judge anyway. So, like, just do and market the way you want. So now I've taken a backseat. I do what I feel like in terms of marketing and also just going with the flow, having fun with imperfections. So, yeah. And also, like, just celebrating little victories. I remember when I got my first sale, during the first week of launch, I was expecting, you know, everybody to come support and shop, but that didn't happen. And I was still, like, really sad about it, which now when I think about it, I should have been celebrating. Because getting even one sale is a big deal, right? So now I take it personally and celebrate all my victories, because that motivates me to even do more. So fear is gonna be there. It's fabricated into our lives. So you just have to acknowledge and reduce it.
Yeah. I love that you say that, because that is something that I try to work so actively on, but in that process too. And I don't want to speak for the both of you, but I'm curious your thoughts, is that that also comes with unlearning so much of what we were taught, like what you had said of, oh, like people are going to judge you anyway, who cares? Like so much of, at least for me, seeing in South Asian cultural norms are like, well, what are people going to think? And they're going to judge you if you do this. And, you know, if you do this, it's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And, you know, I know that Ravish and I have talked about this topic so many times, but how did you work through that unlearning? And I mean, is that something that both of you experienced, or is this something that, I don't know, something I'm just talking about?
I have experienced a lot of judgment in my life while growing up. But I think my parents are the biggest reason where I'm like, let it be.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care what people think. Over the years, I think when I moved here, it bothered me for a couple of years. Okay, my family back there or friends back there think of me, of my biggest example is me leaving my parents. My parents still live in India, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends still, they tell me, you are so selfish for leaving your parents back home, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not selfish. It's not selfish to want a life that you've dreamt of. And when your parents are supporting you, I think then you can do anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So my response to them is, my parents are with me. I travel back every year. They come to visit me. And it's the life we've all chosen. So we all, like, my parents have given me the freedom to go experience life at my own terms. And they are living their life. I've asked them to come here. They don't want to move. And we understand that equally. So live your life.
Yeah, that's so right. And I mean, it's tough with, like, the culture that we've all grown up in. Like you said, like, it's like your friends are trying to guilt trip you that you left the country. But on the other hand, your parents are so supportive about it. So it's like, what's the issue, you know? Like, everyone is still happy. So it just, I think, yeah, sometimes, like, with the culture, I think it's really hard to find, like, the balance of figuring out, like, should you feel guilty for something or should you not? I think, like, that's like a thing that Divya and I discuss a lot as well, that with how we've grown up and, like, the cultural expectations that are put on us, like, how do we maybe outgrow some of those expectations, but then how to manage some of them as well?
It's a tough world.
Yeah. I mean, how have you managed, not because we were talking about the cultural expectations, but another thing I'm really interested in is your habits. Like, oh my gosh, with how you talked about you work on Amaya for like 2 hours and you do 9 to 5 and you work out. And I mean, that has to show, like, that has your passion guiding all of that, because you're not going to wake up at 6 a.m. for something you don't care about. But can you talk more about how you've managed all of this stuff?
I don't think, I mean, yeah, I've reached to a point where I feel like I am able to manage. So I think Amaya is so important for me because I've manifested something of my own for years now. So I can't let it go or let it be, like, let it take a second priority in my life. It's equally important as my stable source of income. So I have taken steps to make sure I wake up at six. I enjoy waking up at six. It's not like, okay, I hate it. It was a big change for me. What was a drastic change for me was sleeping early because I'm a very social person. I like hanging out with friends, like going out. So I had to reduce that time and put Amaya as the priority. So I sleep early, wake up early, spend 2 hours on Amaya. And those 2 hours are not anything I want that day. I plan my routine the night before. Okay, these are the certain things I want to work on tomorrow morning. And when I accomplish those, that also makes me feel great that I got 3 or 4 things out early in the morning and sets the right tone for the day. And then 9 to 5, right now we've started going back into the office. So it's a struggle to not be able to use your phone and start like stop, you know, just keep posting different posts that you have planned for the day. So 9 to 5, you can't be on your screens also like working anytime. So you have to concentrate and focus on work. Then after coming back home, I am lazy, like as people would be after coming back home. But what I do before leaving for work early in the morning is I keep my workout clothes there on my bed. So when I come back home, I see them and change into it and go work out. So that helps me with my wellness aspect of it because, of course, I love to work out. I love to stay fit, but that easily takes a back burner when you're hustling. You can easily be lazy and just go to bed, watch TV. So I try and go work out after and come back home, relax, cook my meal. My fiance is good at cooking, so he is able to take care of my, like, you know, cooking food needs. So that's sorted. And then, as I mentioned, like before going to bed, I try to read. I'm not a reader. That's what I had instilled in my mind. I hate reading. But reading is so important because, like, you want to understand what other people are writing and for self-development, growth, and understanding marketing techniques. I'm not a marketer. So I have to learn. And before sleeping, I ensure I at least read one chapter. I know it's less. People can finish books in a day, but I cannot. I love reading at least one chapter because it still keeps me going and still keeps me aligned with my focus and vision.
Yeah.
So during the day, I try to tackle or acquire different aspects of my goals.
I see. Yeah, it seems like you kind of have it all like laid out, or like in some way, like you do a lot of planning to make sure that you can achieve like these day-to-day tasks that you have for yourself. My question is like when you first started, you know, developing these habits, and like you said, you read the book Atomic Habits, like how was that adjustment period for you? Like how did it feel when you like first started like planning all this out or like starting your habits? Like what were maybe like the struggles, but also what did you like maybe learn more about yourself through that?
Struggles, so when I, of course, the first week was a challenge in terms of like setting the habits. I wanted to, I think the biggest challenge was I took a lot of habits for myself to accomplish, like 10, 11 in a day. You know, that's a lot. 10, 11, not meaning just like planning, but also just like drinking water is one of the habits that people love to improve upon. Mm-hmm. So I added a lot of habits. Which of course I set myself up for failure. And then the next week I made sure I had 5 things to accomplish. One was regularly working out, eating at the right time, following the day format so that I can work on both Amaya and my 9 to 5, and then drinking more water. I'm forgetting the last one, but something along the, oh yeah, date nights on Wednesdays. How can I forget that? Because that's so important. because I knew my partner's gonna be furious if I don't spend time. So now that's how we manage our expectations. We go on date nights. It's Wednesdays, middle of the week. Great. But having realistic expectations and setting actionable goals is something that helped me understand myself better. I cannot do it all. I think I can do it all, but I cannot. I would love to, but important to set realistic expectations out of yourself.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest learnings for me. But yeah, I think habits in general, I don't see them as a goal. I want them to be something that is automatic for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see it as a stress. If I'm not enjoying it, I will not do it. Like I said, like for me, it's important. If I want to drink more water, right? I follow the logic of insight in mind. When it's not in my sight, I don't drink water. So now what I do is I keep glasses of water in the most used corners in my apartment. So when I see it, I will drink it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. And the opposite goes for chocolates. I love chocolates, so I don't keep any chocolates in my fridge.
You really are like planning a few steps in advance. And I think that's so important because I know for me, if I don't plan steps in advance, I kind of end up just doing what I'm in the mood for. And, you know, our moods change constantly. So when you plan it ahead of time, then you really can already be motivated and it feels good to get something off your checklist. And it's also when you really enjoy something. Like, I don't know if you've ever gone to Orange Theory, but Ravisha's one of those like Orange Theory, like she loves it. Orange Theory, from anyone who I've heard, is honestly like a cult or something. Like,
it people really love is. It.
But she like is able to go for it, go in the mornings. And I used to struggle so much working out in the morning. And she was like, I was talking to her about it and I don't know how to get motivation. And she was saying going to like a class has been really game changing for her. So then it inspired me to try a class and that totally changes it too. So it really resonated with you saying that you have to enjoy it because you can't just force yourself to do something you don't enjoy.
Yeah. But tell me one thing. Did you enjoy Orange Theory then after that?
Oh yeah. I've been like a member for like close to 2 years now.
And it's wild.
I'm still like equally obsessed with like going to the classes. It's because like my sister and like some of my other friends also go. And so we're like both motivating each other to go. So I think that's like also like one of the big things about going, like, and then just also creating like small goals. I think when you work out as well and then achieving them slowly, like helps you like stay on track.
Yeah. Going. And it feels so good after you go to it. Like, especially those something like a 6 a.m. You do those a bit more than I do, but when you go to one and then you actually finish, it feels so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have the energy. Like people who don't work out, they won't realize like what that feeling is, but you feel great because you did something for your own self.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I, like Divya can attest to this too. Like, I'm not a morning person at all. Like, even like throughout like high school, and I would be waking up at the last possible moment, you know, to go somewhere or like to get somewhere on time. And then like when I was telling Divya that, oh yeah, I'm starting to do like more morning workouts, she was so shocked. She was like, who are you? Like, you're actually going in the morning to work out? Like,
yeah,
she couldn't believe it.
No, I thought someone was like seriously dragging her with like a chain or something. I'm like, there's no way this girl is going to work out on her own in the morning. But then she talked to me about how much she loved Orange Theory and it wasn't even about the workout.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like she didn't even care about what the heck she was working out and doing, but she loved Orange Theory and the community and just what, you know, she was having cultivated there. And so I think that's really important too, with the communities we surround ourselves with. And for you, like, what's been the importance of community when it comes to like success and following your passions? Do you have that community? And if so, like, how important is that? What have you seen the impact of it be?
Great question. My community is everything for me. I'm totally blessed to have the people I have in my life, be it my friends, be it my family, or be it the other female founders. Like, I'm going to tell you a beautiful story. And this shows that there's space for everyone and lifting each other is so beautiful. So there's another founder called Poonam. She is a founder of Malicious Jewelry. The other day she Insta messages me something that was happening in Chicago, that there's a pop-up upcoming at Nomad Cafe. You should apply. And that just, I was so happy to see that message because we belong from the same industry. We both do jewelry, but there was no competition. She wants me to grow equally. And I applied for it and that pop-up is on Saturday.
That's awesome.
So it's beautiful. And the other aspect is there's another founder, Nitya, from My Decorify. She connected me with another emerging designer that was showcasing at South Asian New York Fashion Week. And the designer and I, Rene and I, we connected and I styled their clothes with some jewelry on Sunday on the runway. So it just shows that, yeah, it was a great experience. And that makes me believe that we all are in it together. And yeah, it's beautiful to help each other out. The more you give, the more you receive. So it's important to keep giving.
Definitely. I love that.
Yeah. And that's like so nice to hear, you know, like when you can talk about people that are also in like the same business as you, and also they're like lifting you up, and like it's almost makes you feel more encouraged to do what what you're doing, because sometimes like you need to hear that from your own peers, like in that same field, like as much as it means when a family member like encourages you and stuff, but they may not like totally understand the field as much or things like that. So it's like nice when that happens, and then you like you feel like, okay, like I got this. I have a reason to keep going.
Yeah, and that's all the reason that I have for keep going. I'm not a giver, but like seeing this support, how can you give up? You know, it's beautiful to just keep going. Like my friends and family, my cousin lives in New York. She came for the pop. I was at the bazaar for South Asian New York Fashion Week. She always comes with me at these pop-ups. My friend especially flies from Chicago and comes along. So it's just the support is there.
That's amazing. And I just love hearing these stories of community, because it can be so easy to be competitive with one another. And I see that so much in the content creation space too. And I imagine you do in the, you know, in the jewelry space, but this urge of competition, right? And it's like, you have to really, I've actually learned that there's so much of unlearning I've had to do around competition when it comes to like my upbringing and community. And it was always like comparing, right? Like so-and-so is going to this college. So-and-so has these grades. Why aren't you like so-and-so? So obviously this internal narrative is like, I have to be better than everyone. And I've been seeing that more, that there's room for everyone. Like I want everyone around me to grow, because I really do believe when we lift up people around us, that's when we lift ourselves up too. But it's unlearning a lot.
That's a great point. I did not even think about my childhood experiences of like grades. That's a good point. That's where it comes from.
It started with the grades.
It started with the grades.
I do want to ask what, like motivated you to come study here in the US? Like, was there a reason for you coming to Indiana University, or like, was it just like random? Like, I would love to hear more about that.
There's a lot of funny stories around it, but I'll tell you one thing. I didn't have any other choice. I did apply. So my extended family, my dad's brother, my uncle actually lives here. He moved here 45 years ago. Mm. So that was one of the reasons, but I always wanted to go to UK. But my family said no, because there wasn't any family there. So the only option I had to come study abroad was United States of America. And I did not want to be in Chicago because my family was here. Because if I was moving away from family, I wanted to be completely independent and not be in Chicago. So I chose something that was still close by and which happened to be Indiana.
Hmm.
Yeah, close enough, but not too close.
Yeah. So... yeah, I think it was a beautiful experience. I did not have any culture shock per se, if you ask me that. But no culture shock, because I had been seeing my cousins like come to India or hear their experience. So I think I was kind of mentally prepared of what I was getting myself into.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you stayed, you got a job here and stuff. So you liked it.
I think... I love being here because I get to be independent. I get to do all the things that I've wanted in my life and without any traffic. The crazy Delhi traffic.
Oh my gosh, I know. It's so crazy over there. And you really can do like everything that you've been dreaming of. That's so cool to watch that all unfold in front of you. I love how you said that you like manifested this life and now it's showing up for you, because I mean, a lot of people don't even manifest things for themselves because they don't even think they can do it. Exactly. Like they don't think they're worthy or whatever. And so there are so many things we want for ourselves that we don't even take that step to manifest it. I mean, when did you like first manifest all of this to happen for you?
2016.
And you got to work.
I was in 10th grade then. Oh, no, wait, not 2016. Sorry. I meant when I was in 10th grade, when I was 16 years old.
Okay. I was like 2016. Oh my gosh. How old are you?
I know. I was like, wait, what?
Sorry. No, I meant 2010 when I was 16.
That's so funny. I was going to be like, did you ask your parents if you're allowed to? Do we need to sign a waiver? But yeah, that's so cool. I mean, you put your mind to it and you stuck to it, which is incredible.
My brother helped me through it. So I would give credits to him for him, like, asking me that question and pushing me.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you, do you design, like, all the jewelry and stuff that, or do you have, like, someone helping you or, like, a team?
I am leveraging my family connections. I have been a fan of Indian jewelry, the Indian textures, the stones, craftsmanship for a long time. And, you know, Indian craftsmanship is unparalleled.
Yeah.
So we do have a team in India that designs it and we manufacture it all in-house. So that helps us reduce the cost. And growing up, I did see people shop a lot of... When I think of Indian jewelry, I think of wedding jewelry.
Yeah.
And when I think of American jewelry, I think of something dainty but bland. Mm-hmm. Until you spend a lot of dollars, you don't get something really fun, like quirky. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to balance and blend those things together. The textures, stones, craftsmanship of Indian jewelry with modernism of American culture, because that's how I like to wear it. I like to wear things that are different, and that's been my whole life, blending the best of both worlds right now. Oh. So so using all the network that we have already established, I'm blending and bringing something that's more affordable and something that people can like at a, like, it's fine quality still.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think of it as bridging the gap between fine and fashion jewelry.
Yeah, I definitely saw that when I went on the Instagram page and I was, like, looking through, like, all the designs. Like, it definitely is, like, a good blend of the Indian and American jewelry. Like, something you can wear every day but is, like, kind of different and stuff. Like, I really like the designs a lot. So that's why I was asking, like, how you, like, started the line and stuff.
It's really inspiration cool. is all around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool because I do recognize that, like, I was noticing that more even when I was shopping for, like, it started with more like my wedding jewelry, but the things that I was buying that were Indian jewelry or even for, like, events, it's not like I could ever wear that on a day-to-day basis. It's just way too, like, big and bold. And then, you know, we get, especially when you're South Asian and living in America, right? Like, you're some of the, maybe what the American jewelry is feels a little too bland or simple for, so it's such a good blend between the two, because I really like that, like, the more, like, chunky kind of look, but something that's still day to day. So I think you really did a good job accomplishing that. And what about the name? The name is so beautiful. What inspired you for that?
I'm a person who likes things with meaning, so this one was no different. It's named after my grandmother. It means lovable, and I wanted to keep and hold something that's really close to me. My grandmother, I didn't get to spend a lot of time with her, but I wanted to hear that name every time, all around, when people say it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's really sweet.
That's so beautiful.
Do you ever feel like there's, like, times or, like, when you feel, like, burnt out from, you know, your own corporate job and, like, handling the jewelry business? And, like, how do you maybe, like, deal with the burnout or, like, you know, tips for that? Because, like, Divya and I talk about that a lot, just with...
Cry in one corner.
That's relatable.
So that's pretty relatable, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel overwhelmed. I do cry my feelings out if I'm feeling that I need to take it out. That's how my emotions come out. But when, I mean... After I cry out, I put my big girl hat on, go work out, let the stress out, and then come back home and actually sit down and think why I started this.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I being stressed out? Like, try to understand, like, what's causing me to feel the way I'm feeling. And if it's something related to not being able to manage time, which most times you're not able to manage time. Like, no matter how nicely you set up a system, things go here and there, right? So it's important to understand why you are doing certain things and just go ahead with it. Like replan things. But you feel the burn. You cannot do it all the time. Sometimes you just cry it out.
It's honestly just useful to hear that when you hear someone that's also just, like, you know, working their 9 to 5 and then also has a business on the side, like sometimes you hear, oh yeah, like I'm able to manage it all, it's like no problem. But like sometimes you also do need to hear when it's like, you know, like relatable and it gets hard, and like what you do to kind of deal with it all. Cause like even for us, like we both are coming off like a very like busy summer, and we had just started our podcast. And so we constantly were like, how are we going to do this all? Like we were having a lot of trouble with like scheduling and all that. And a lot of the times we'd be like, it's okay. Like there's a reason why we're now like starting our podcast and why we need to just keep going and not give up. So that's why I wanted to hear like your stance on it as well, because I think a lot of like maybe someone listening is, well, might be thinking that they want to start like a side hustle or like another passion, pursue a passion, and just know it's like not easy, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. You sleep peacefully at night. Mm-hmm. If you're satisfied with it, you do it. You work for it. Nobody else is going to work for you.
Yeah. And I love the concept of coming back to your values and your why, because that's totally what I have to do too with things. It's like, why am I doing this? And then when you realize that, you know, the pros of why you're doing it outweigh the like inevitable cons of stress and emotion, like anything that's worth something will bring out stress, you know, but as long as it's something that's close to your heart and important to you, that to move forward with that and like let that guide you.
100%. Nothing's going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it.
I agree.
That is true. Well, I guess I feel like we just talked about, so it was so easy to talk to you, Apurva.
We went through like our whole,
I know,
just so easily.
Yeah, it was really nice talking to you, because I feel like just like talking about your habits and how you got started and stuff, like I think Divya and I can both like resonate with that, because we're constantly talking about this, and I'm sure anyone listening can also take away like so many helpful advice from you, because like you literally said you read a book, Atomic Habits, and then you figured it out and you found ways to adjust your life to what you needed to do. And so now you work your corporate job and you have your jewelry business on the side. And I think that's so great.
Amazing. I've heard a lot about that book, honestly. And I actually have not read that book, but I have so many people who have said how amazing that book is that now I'm honestly motivated to hop on Amazon Prime tonight and like buy this book. Or, you know, actually I've been starting to read books from my iPad. So maybe I'll get it there. Cause another thing you said earlier in the interview that we didn't touch on that really resonated with me was when you've been reading more and you always were like, oh, I'm not a huge reader. I've been trying to get more into reading, and I was just never a huge reader because I always associated reading with academics. Like I never really read for fun. I only read for school. So I never had like this positive association with reading, but just setting aside time, like even if I read 5 pages, I'm proud of myself. So I really liked when you were like, it's one chapter. Like I know a lot of people can read more. I was like, girl, I read 5 pages sometimes at night. And I'm like, yes, this is amazing. So
my one chapter is 5 pages.
So yeah, me and Ravisha will definitely read that book, and we will get back to you, because you have inspired us.
Yeah, definitely. I think that book's been my life changer. I also gifted that book to one of my friends. I hope she's reading it, because it's an amazing book. It gives you tips that you will definitely feel easy to apply to in your life. So do give it a read. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Why don't you give maybe the Instagram handle of Amaya Jewelry so people can check it out and stuff as well.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. The Instagram handle for Amaya Jewelry is Amaya Jewelry, AmayaJewelry.
Great. I hope you guys follow that. Honestly, there's so many great pieces on there. Yeah. So I'm like going to actually shop on your site later tonight for sure.
And we'll also link it in the show notes, because you definitely all should check it out.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Bye.
See you all next week. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account @conversationsbrewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast, and continue to tune in weekly. We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.